Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Chris Todd, and this is Raven News. The Sitka Assembly delivered its verdict on the city's top two employees on Tuesday night. City Administrator Mark Gorman and City Attorney Robin Kuchek each received their annual evaluations. Kuchek's evaluation took place in private executive session. Gorman elected to have his evaluation done in public. KCAW's Rachel Walsholt reports.
Assemblymember Mike Reif said his overall message for both Gorman and Kuchek was one of appreciation.
I am so pleased with both of them. I'm so pleased at the way they work with each other, they work with their staff, and they work with the assembly. And it says a lot that we've actually have, you know, in the all the years I've been on the assembly, we have a really high functioning team. You have superior talent, both in Mark and Robin.
That said, during Gorman's evaluation, Reif said he and assembly members Pete Esquiro and Aaron Swanson expressed concern that the city is relying too much on studies done by outside consultants. The city is spending up to $250,000 for an outside firm to develop a solid waste management plan. Esquiro said he hoped the city would do more of that planning and analysis in-house, both because it might cost less, but also because the work would be higher quality.
We've got some pretty talented people that work for the city. You know, they're very capable, and you know, I'd like to see us use our in-house expertise for, you know, some instead of some of these studies that we're authorizing. I don't think we're necessarily, you know, getting the best work products from outside consultants all the time.
Esquiro had particularly high praise for City Attorney Robin Kuchek.
You know, she doesn't speak down to people, but she has the ability to speak in a way that most people can understand her. You know, I'm not a lawyer, and quite often I could get lost. But she has a great ability to, you know, to reword things to where we can understand them, and I think that's a pretty talented person that can do that.
For her part, Mayor Mim McConnell said she was pleased with Administrator Mark Gorman's work during the 6 months that he's been on the job.
I think he's done very well, and I think he's been well received by the municipality.
Gorman said that so far he's enjoying the job.
It's an incredibly stimulating job. Every day I come to work, I'm not sure what's going to come through the door, but it's always challenging and engaging, and it's a real privilege for me to be in this position to be serving Sitka.
McConnell said that both Gorman and Kuchek had proposed going on contract. Right now, both are city employees and covered by the city's personnel policy. Gorman said he recommended to the assembly that, as administrator, he be placed on contract because it would offer the assembly more flexibility in hiring and firing the city's top official.
From their perspective, I think they're served better by having their CEO under a contract. It gives them more flexibility as they move forward. From my vantage point, it's fairly neutral, but it's my advice to them that I think it's a better tool for them for managing their administrator.
McConnell said the assembly will consider the issue. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholtz.
As Mark Twain would say, reports of the demise of seaweed collecting at Halibut Point Rec have been greatly exaggerated. It turns out that gathering this much-favored garden fertilizer does not require a special use permit. Under a new policy, however, permits are required for anyone who wants to drive a vehicle into the park for any reason. Kevin Murphy, the state park's chief ranger for Southeast Alaska, said the new policy was prompted by road damage in the rec area.
It was the damage to the roadbed that kind of forced us into trying to mitigate that. And the way to mitigate that was to limit the access down there, or at least have some accountability for it there. That's what has driven it all.
Murphy said that a combination of wet spring weather and too much traffic had caused damage at the end of the roadway. Park employees were seeing six or seven trucks in the park at once, many of them parked off the gravel areas designated for them. The policy is not aimed at people gathering seaweed for gardens or compost, Murphy said. A press release issued by the State Park Citizens Advisory Board earlier this week said that the special use permits were required to limit the amount of seaweed collected. Murphy said that is not accurate. No permit is required to collect seaweed as long as people walk in.
Foot traffic, wheelbarrows, buckets, anytime. Don't even need to call and let the specialist Nick know over there. Go for it. It's really more about vehicle access.
Anyone who wants to drive in will need a special use permit, whether it's to collect seaweed, to transport a grill for a picnic, or to provide access for those with disabilities. A special use permit, though, might sound daunting, Murphy said, but it's really just a 5-minute phone call to let park staff know when they need to be present to unlock the gate.
It sounds like a highly technical, long, you know, piece of paperwork. It's really a one-page thing that has the person's name on it, so we have contact of that person and establishes a time for us to let him in and let him out and control the access.
Murphy said that the new policy is, in fact, a return to an older policy. Until about 4 or 5 years ago, he said the main gate was locked at all times. Anyone with questions or if you need to get a special use permit can call the State Parks Sitka office at 747-6249. With an oversupply of natural gas in the country, Alaska is exploring the construction of a relatively small, low-pressure gas line within the state's borders, while still holding out hope for a much larger project that should prices improve. Dan Fowski is the president of the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation, or AGDC. He spoke to Sitka's Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday about when and where Alaskans may see gas. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The AGDC is the latest attempt by the state to put something, anything, together to promote the construction of a gas line from the North Slope. The Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation was established by the legislature in 2010 to explore in-state options for gas, while a more high-profile effort, Governor Sarah Palin's Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act, or AGIA, was trying to connect North Slope gas to markets in the lower 48 through a gas line in Canada. Earlier this year, Governor Parnell announced that the state and TransCanada had called it quits, putting an end to AGIA. Now, the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation is the only game in town, and Dan Fowski knows this game has been played time and time again.
We have a plaque in our office. It says Fairbanks to get gas, and it's from the 1954 Daily News Miner. So this debate's been going on a while.
The problem is economic. Natural gas is sold in volumes of 1,000 cubic feet at a price right now somewhere between $3 and $4. To sell gas, it has to be delivered in pressurized pipelines or be supercooled and liquefied. If you're close to the gas, it can be a great deal. The city of Anchorage has been served for decades by low-cost gas from oil refineries next door in Cook Inlet. On the North Slope, where the state has vast reserves of natural gas, Fowski says it's considered a byproduct.
For years, the gas at Prudhoe Bay has been reinjected into the ground and forces the oil out. The petroleum engineers will tell you that we've looked at this gas 3 or 4 times. They've recycled it.
The AGDC is exploring a 700-mile gas line from Prudhoe Bay to Nikiski, which would be about 100 miles shorter than a gas line to Valdez, where the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline terminates. There are two options on the table: a 36-inch low-pressure pipeline that would carry so-called lean gas, or gas ready for delivery directly to consumers. The other option is a 42-inch pipeline delivering much higher volumes of gas under much higher pressure. The smaller pipeline would cost almost $8 billion and serve primarily Alaskans. The larger pipeline would cost $65 billion and supply Alaska and the global export market. The big three oil producers, ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips, and BP, and even TransCanada, would partner with the state and the big pipeline if it ever pencils out. Fowski says this is a big if.
Oil companies are not charged with taking care of the Alaskan citizens. Oil companies do things for their shareholders. And I'm not defending, I'm just saying no one's going to invest in this kind of project so that 700,000 Alaskans can get a benefit. I mean, the reality is they do things for their shareholders. The irony is that the Alaska Permanent Fund is a huge shareholder of Exxon stock. I mean, so people get in mind that, well, they should have done this. Well, it's been looked at 30 times.
The state invested $355 million in the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation to perform the preliminary engineering and design for the smaller gas line called the Alaska Standalone Pipeline, which will take about 2 years. Fauske believes that sometime in that window, the two projects will meld and the state will ultimately have a 10% stake in a gas line that is operational by 2020. Fauske spent 18 years as the director of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation before taking over AGDC. He was on Governor Palin's AGEA team, which he says was a good idea when gas was at $10. His expertise is in finance. The discovery of shale gas in the northern plains of the U.S. undermined AGEA, but Fauske believes this new gas line strategy, based on revenue bonds, is a workable solution for the state's energy needs, as well as the largest construction project in the country. But he says gas is nothing akin to the discovery of oil on the North Slope.
Oil is king. Gas gives us security. But gas will never, from a revenue standpoint, replace oil.
Asked by a member of the chamber audience to give odds on which gas line would be built, Fauske pointed to the radio microphone and TV camera and declined. Instead, he quoted a line from the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, and said, "Something wonderful's going to happen." Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And at 1 minute, just about 1 minute after 8 o'clock, that's it for Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. And at 8:18 this morning, Doug Osborne will be in with Sitka Skippers. It's their final performance, end of the year, tonight at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. in the Blatchley Middle School gym. Donations are welcome for that, and will help to send the Skippers to the USA Jump Rope National Championship. For more information, you can call Twyla Kivini at 738-3050. Again, 8:18 today, Sitka Skippers. Good morning.